أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم والقرآن الحكيم: وأنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها، صلوات. Many of you already know that the subject of discussion, inshallah, in this Muharram would be a short commentary on Ziyarat Ashura. But before entering this sacred ziyarah, I thought it is better for us to look at some introductory discussions that would help us try to understand this ziyarah properly. It would make us realize the subtle aspects that this ziyarah contains, this ziyarah that many of us have been reciting for years now. Some of us are habituated in reciting this noble ziyarah every day. With zeal and love, we recite this ziyarah, but unfortunately we are oblivious of its subtle aspects. So before entering into this ziyarah, I thought of mentioning some important introductory discussions that inshallah would help us before entering this ziyarah. First of all, the first question that arises is that, is this ziyarah authentic or not? Great scholars have mentioned clearly in their works, different scholars rather, that this ziyarah is authentic. And two important chain of narrators have been mentioned for this ziyarah. One indicated in Misbah al-Mutahajjid of Sheikh Tusi, and one indicated in Kamil al-Ziyara of Ibn Qulaway. These two sanad are there. And some of the scholars, without mentioning any ratifications, have said that this ziyara is mutawatir. But although they mention that this ziyara is mutawatir, they do not give a proof for that. Therefore, the proofs that are there are these, that we have two important narrations about this ziyarah. One from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, who informs or teaches Alqamah, one of his companions, and the other by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who teaches or informs to Safwan al-Jammal. But the one of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in reality is an endorsement of what Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam had already given to Alqamah, with the addition that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam narrates this tradition and tells Safwan al-Jammal that, mind you Safwan, this is not a ziyarah from myself. Rather, it is a ziyarah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Because he mentions a chain of narrators going back to the Holy Prophet, who narrates it from Jibreel, who narrates it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, that is why some of the scholars, when they mention this ziyarah, they mention it as Hadith al-Qudsi, the ziyarah which is a Hadith al-Qudsi. It is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is other than the Holy Quran. This is as far as the authenticity is concerned. But a question arises that still we do not know that whether this ziyarah is successively narrated or not. We don't know that. Is it mutawatir or not? It is only when tawatur comes, when satisfaction comes in the heart. What other method can we use to ratify and establish the veracity of this ziyarah? The other method that scholars mention, and it is very important, is that look at the matn of the ziyarah, look at the contents of the ziyarah itself, and you come to realize that this cannot be written by any person, any ordinary person. No one can write such a beautiful ziyarah summing up the entire revolution, summing up that how a person can epitomize himself to be an insan al-kamil. Inshallah, we'll come to this ziyarah in detail and we'll come to realize that this ziyarah is not ordinarily written. Each and every verse has subtleties that we should try to understand and comprehend. Therefore, the contents itself bears witness to its authenticity. Like when it comes to many of these riwayat, look at the very beautiful masterpiece of Ghurarul Hikam wa Durarul Kalim of Muhaddith Al-Amadi, who narrates so many traditions in his Ghurarul Hikam. And each and every tradition is so beautiful and comprehensive that words are beyond expression. Each and every tradition can form a book sometimes of information. But he does not say, it is narrated from so and so who narrated it from so and so. No. All these traditions are mursal. It is from Imam Ali alayhi salam, but the contents itself bear testimony that it is from Imam Ali alayhi salam, that any ordinary person cannot formulate such beautiful traditions. And how do we gauge it? We gauge it from the Holy Quran. We look at the Holy Quran and we see that is this tradition according to the Holy Quran or does it contradict the Holy Quran? And this is the mizan that the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have given us. They say that when you want to gauge a tradition, then look at the Holy Quran. If it conforms to the Holy Quran and accords to the Holy Quran, then take it. But if it doesn't, فَعْرِضُوهُ عَلَى الْجِدَارِ, then throw it in the wall. We don't need that tradition. However, a very important question arises that sometimes there are some traditions that the aql, that it is beyond the aql to gauge. It is beyond the limitations of intellect to gauge the tradition. Especially when it comes to particularities. That is why if you go and see the kind of Jannah, the kind of apple, the kind of pears that we would get in Jannah, for example. And the details of Jannah and Jahannam cannot be exemplified by the intellect. The intellect only comprehends universals, kulliyat. And that is why here the intellect says, no, this is not my environment. Therefore, the best thing is to be silent here and say that perhaps this tradition is a correct tradition. If the tradition is a mursal tradition, you don't know the chain of narrators. But when it comes to Islamic law, we are more strict. When it comes to Islamic law, and you know that, let's say, a hadith has come that recite, let's say, 2 rakat at a certain time. And you know, reciting prayer is according to the Holy Quran and according to the intellect as well. But here you are told that the intellect cannot judge here. The intellect, it is beyond the intellect to come and interfere here. You are told that if you do not have any dalil, then don't take this. Unless another dalil comes, another proof comes and tells you that take this hukm al-dhahiri, this apparent dalil, which gives you the probability that it is correct. Now these are some intricacies that I wanted to mention as far as the authenticity is concerned. So we should understand that inshallah in the course of our discussion and after we have discussed this beautiful ziyarah, we'll come to realize that indeed this ziyarah bears testimony to its authenticity. Apart from these two narrations, which are very beautiful narrations, chain of narrators, and authentic chain of narrators as well. Because a person says that, no, I would like tawatur here, that I would like to have yaqeen that really this has come from the a'imma alayhimus salam, we say that there is no tawatur here, but the contents itself bear testimony to its authenticity. Another very important point worthy of contemplation is that when it comes to reciting Ziyarat Ashura, we have different levels of reciters. The verse that I just recited in Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coins or concocts a similitude, gives an example to us. And this example is so beautiful. There are so many interpretations which do not contradict each other, because the Holy Quran does not only have a zahir and a batin has a batin up to 70 butun, but even the zahir has another zahir, which has another zahir, which is not contradictory. And you will find some of the ulama try to exemplify these truths as well. But here is a very beautiful parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites in the Holy Quran. He says, وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends water from the sky. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا. And the well is flowed according to their measure. Now a question arises, that valleys do not flow, water flows. But here, the accurate translation is the valleys flowed according to the measure. The reason being that this is an adabi and eloquent point in the Arabic language whereby such expression is used. But what is meant is that the water flowed according to the measure of the valleys. That is, if we had a very huge valley, it contained more water. If we had a small valley, it contained less water. If we had a valley that was full of dirt, though clean water went inside, but what settled was dirty water. If we had no valley, then there would be no water. Similar is with the case of the hearts of the human being. This is a similitude for the hearts of the human being. That the water of ilm always comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the receptivity from our side is very less. Due to the purity of the hearts of some people, their receptivity is more and hollow and spacious, so they can contain more. Due to not having receptivity, some people do not have that capacity to contain a lot. And therefore, they do contain, but they contain less. Sometimes you find a person learning ilmul irfan in a very high level of class, and he is very good at it. He would give you all the istilahat, he would give you all the nazariyat, and he has understood, but his heart is murky and dark. And when it comes to practicality, you find that he is learning ilmul irfan, the practical part is not there. Therefore, the container is murky and dark. The water beautifully comes and flows inside his heart, but what comes out is murky and dark. Therefore, this is just an example, and many examples can be cited for this verse in particular. But what I would like you to understand is that in understanding this ziyarah also, we have different levels of apprehension. And we have different kinds of reciters. Here we talk about the reciters. Of course, apprehension, comprehension is something else. One kind of reciter is that who reads the ziyarah with correct pronunciation and addresses Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam with sincerity. But he would anticipate reward from that ziyarah, because he has heard that man zar al-Husayn alayhi salam ghafar Allah ma taqaddama min dhanbihi wa ma ta'akhkhar. Whosoever visits Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, his sins that have been the past sins and those which he would commit in future would be forgiven. Scholars say that what is meant by those sins that he would commit in future? Those sins that he would inadvertently commit in future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees that they would be forgiven. So some people recite ziyarah for a certain aim. It's just like a transaction they are making. They anticipate a certain reward. Sometimes it's a very beautiful reward. The ghufranu dhamb and forgiveness of sins is a great reward. It's a very good reward. It would purify the person. It would purge him off from all the dirt that he has accumulated so far. Therefore it's something good. But some people would like to recite the ziyarah for qada'ul hawa'ij al-dunyawiyya wal-ukhrawiyya. That is, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attends to his worldly wishes and those wishes of the hereafter. And therefore he is reciting with correct pronunciation in anticipation of reward. This is the first class. The second class are those who recite the ziyarah and understand the ziyarah as well, but anticipate reward as well. This is the second category. Still, they are entangled in the problem of anticipation, that they are transacting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ziyarah is only a wasila for them. Many recite the ziyarah so that their problems are solved, so that, let's say, their business goes on well, and many other things, and they really see the results, and it is good. Sometimes when you anticipate a reward which is dunyawi, which pertains to this world, and which is a wasila for the hereafter and for reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it gains value. But if it is for making yourself more attached to this world and material world, then it is something bad. And that's why sometimes, even in anticipation of reward, it's not something which is, you know, something which is abhorred by Islam. No. It's something which is recommended. There is another group, however, who have a higher ambition and who not only understand the ziyarah, but understand the fact that the purpose of the ziyarah is the personification of the teachings of the ziyarah, which is contained in the ziyarah. They would like to epitomize themselves with the teachings of the ziyarah. They would like to be the ziyarah. They would like to unite with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. They would like to unite with his thoughts, with his feelings, with his actions. This is a higher stage. This is when the person gains more and more receptivity and understands that the purpose of the ziyarah is to get closer to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. A very good method of understanding or deciphering that what, how can we find out that what the purpose of the ziyarah should be, is look at the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to attain that vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the heart. Ma'rifatullah is that aim. And therefore each and every deed that we do, whether it is ziyarah, whether it is salat, whether it is sawm, zakat, whether it is eating, whether it is talking to somebody, whether it is sleeping, each and everything should be geared towards closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Necessarily then, the ziyarah also should be geared to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is equal to epitomization and personification of the teachings of the ziyarah. Recite a salawat, please. A very beautiful incident that I got from one of the books of a great saint, known as Sayyid Al-Haddad Al-Musawi, and this book is very well known to most of us. It is known as Ruhe Mujarrad. At one place he says, إن أكثر الناس حينما يذهبون إلى زيارة العتبات المقدسة يقفون ماسق الضريح فيتوسلون بالإمام لحوائجهم المادية فيحملون ثقلا على ثقلهم ولم يسألوا الإمام بأن يأخذ منهم ثقلهم وهو التعلق بالدنيا بل يسألونه بأن يعطيهم بيتا أو ولدا أو زوجا أو سيارة وما سمعنا أن أحد دخل بخدمته وقال له خذ مني كذا وكذا. He says when most of the people visit the holy shrines, they stand holding fast onto the enclosures of the graves and mediate with the Imam for the fulfillment of their material needs, thus adding a burden over their burdens. And they do not ask Imam to remove their burden, which is attachment to the world. Rather, they ask him to give them a house or an offspring or a wife or a car, and we never heard from anyone who entered at his service and asked him, take away so and so from me. Take away the burdens of life from me. So this is Sayyid Haddad, and he visions this because he was staying in Karbala. He says, people go and catch the zarih of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and cry and ask for this worldly benefit. And I have not seen a person asking Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, take away this from me and release my burden. So he says that this should not be our endeavor when we do the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now, another very important thing about the ziyarah, which is fundamental, is what are the keys of understanding this ziyarah? The sayings of Imam Aimma alayhi salam resemble the Holy Quran. There are many resemblances. One of the resemblances is the way Al-Quran yufassiru ba'duhu ba'dan, the way Quran would do, some of the verses would do tafsir of the others, the kalam of the Aimma alayhim salam also yufassiru ba'duhu ba'dan. This is one thing, very important. The second thing which is very important is that the Aimma alayhim salam, when they would give some kalam, sometimes it would have deeper meanings. But to the person who listens, maybe he just looks at the superficial and the apparent meaning, which is also meant by the Imam. Imam means it, but Imam also would like to give other meanings. Inshallah, we'll come to that practically, and I'll show you that some people think that a certain verse and a certain saying just is limited to this apparent meaning, but rather there are some other meanings behind the verse which also are literal. Not that we try to interpolate the meaning or interpret according to what our whims dictate. No. When we look at the verse properly, we come to realize that there are other meanings deeper. So what are the keys of understanding this ziyarah? I have tried to enumerate some of the keys, some of the many keys which inshaAllah would help you when you look at the ziyarah yourself. Because sometimes you would find other things which others have not found. One is that a good mastery over the Arabic language, which alhamdulillah most of us in the Hausa do learn the Arabic language, especially the part in Balagha and Fasaha, the part in Arabic eloquence, which is very important to know, because there are many things in the Arabic language or in the Quran and the Ahadith which point out to important things. But if a person has just learned Nahw and Sarf, that is grammar and syntax, he would not come to realize these points. So Balagha and Fasaha, apart from the Nahw and Sarf, is important when you come to read this ziyarah. Secondly is a good mastery of aqaid. many of us try to conjecture that these, what is, how does this ziyara relate to aqaid? But when you look at the verses painstakingly, you would come to realize that there are so many issues of aqaid. From tawheed, going to adl and nubuwa and imama and wilaya and tawassul and so many other things. That if a person does not realize, he would not benefit from the deeper meanings of this ziyara. Thirdly, a good mastery over the historical characters mentioned in the ziyara. Because when we do la'an over the zalimeen, then a question arises that why mention Yazid and then also mention Muawiyah and also mention Ibn Ziyad and Umar bin Sa'ad? All of them were one. No, each and every one had a role to play. Each and every one had a role in history to play, and therefore we should understand their character properly so that we can understand what is the connection of them being mentioned in this ziyarah. Number four is the expurgation of special limitations. Expurgation of the special limitations of the Great Revolution. In simpler words, cleaning of the particularities of the revolution of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam by looking at the Holy Quran. Because when the Holy Quran mentions particularities, it does not mention particularities to make you so happy. What I mean by particularities, I mean that, for example, when it talks about Suratul Kahf, the beautiful surah, that how the youth went to the cave and they were overtaken by the divine hold and they were in the state of ecstasy for about 309 years and all these things. It's a beautiful riwayah and it's a beautiful account. But then, this is just a particular part of this qissa and this story. Let us take out these particularities and look at the universals, because the universals are what will benefit. The universals are those things that would benefit us. Not only for that time, but even for today and for the future as well. And therefore, universals are very important. But universals can only be gotten when we try to expurgate and clean off the particularities. Similar is with the case of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's movement. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam was a model, was an infallible imam, and thus an example for all times to come. Therefore, we should look at the universal message that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has to give. Each and every thing that he said, each and every move that he made, each and every confrontation that he made. So similar is with the case of this ziyara. When you look at this ziyara, there are particular things mentioned, but you should try to extract the universal things that are mentioned in this ziyara. Another very important key to understanding this ziyara better is understanding the perfect human being. Who is a perfect human being? Al-insanul kamil. This is also something that cannot be easy for many of us, because when you talk about insanul kamil, then you study insanul kamil in those studies which are higher than ilmul falsafa. When you go to ilmul irfan is when you study insanul kamil. But then the characteristics of insanul kamil are there in the Holy Quran. If a person reads the Holy Quran properly and he knows who really is a muttaqi, he would get so many of the ideas of who an insan al-kamil is, a perfect human being is. But if a person's ambition and aspiration is higher, then he can learn the subtleties that are contained in ilmul irfan and know who an insan al-kamil is, what are his powers, what are his limitations, and then when he looks at the ziyara, he comes to realize that, oh, what are we reciting? How beautiful is this ziyara? And what message has the ziyara for me? These were some very important points about this ziyara. which inshallah we'll be looking tomorrow. We'll start with the first verses tomorrow. But then we should understand a very important point, and that is that this ziyarah was one way of disseminating the message of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to the people. The A'imma alayhi salam wanted the message of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to always be there, to always remain. And because of that, they would give different methods of baqa, of ibqa. One is that they would say that you recite beautiful ash'ar and beautiful poetry about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and they would enumerate the reward of whoever recites beautiful poetry about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Sometimes they would say recite ziyara, and in fact in some riwayat it clearly is indicated that ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is wajib. Once in one riwayah it is wajib, in another riwayah it is fardun. The word fard is there. In another riwayah it is said that whosoever leaves the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam fahuwa fi an-nar, then he is in the hellfire. In another riwayah we get that whosoever from our Shias lives in this world but does not visit Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam fahuwa muntaqasu al-iman, then his iman is naqis. Wa muntaqasu al-deen, his deen also is naqis. And therefore doing the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is very important. In some riwayah we find that the person says that even if it's difficult for us and we are afraid of our life, the Imam says that even if you are afraid of your life, the more the fear is, the more the thawab is there for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ziyarah. Now why so much emphasis? The emphasis is because they wanted the movement of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and the thoughts of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to remain. So that offshoots like the revolution of Imam Khomeini comes about. Today is the 22nd of Bahman, where the fruition of the powerful revolution of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam transpired. An offshoot of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's revolution. If you look at the writings of Imam Khomeini, you would find that in several areas he is mentioning this, that was it not for the revolution of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we would not have got victory of this revolution. So the ilham and the inspiration is there from the revolution of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So in reality, in fact, in some of his sayings, it's surprising, in some of his sayings, he clearly says that this marthiyas and nauhas that you are reciting, who says stop it? No, continue. Continue reciting these, and in the traditional manner. Because this would enable the subsistence of the revolution of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So there were many methods that the A'imma alayhi salam would choose in order to propagate this message. And if you look at the aftermath of the movement of Karbala, you would find that there were many uprisings that came about. Why? Because these thoughts were still alive in the hearts. And the A'imma alayhim salam knew that if this tradition does not continue, these thoughts would die once upon a time. And therefore, they told that every Muharram, you should try to revive the teachings of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Because Hussein pertains to your time, according to your limitations. Yes, you may not be in that position to make a revolution, because you do not have that much support of the people, and you do not have the capacity of doing, but you have a certain limitation whereby you can effect a revolution. And this is your duty, according to the limitation that you have. Therefore, these were a few words about, this was an introduction rather about the Ziyarat Ashura, the commentary over the Ziyarat Ashura. InshaAllah, tomorrow we'll look at the first verse of this powerful ziyarah, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, and see what can we learn and how can we personify ourselves with that particular verse. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.